This is In the Spotlight, where we shine the light on college students, our lived experiences, and the research to help us thrive. We're coming to you from the Clemson Honors College as part of CCARE, a special research group in the Creative Inquiry Program. My name is Taryn. I'm a junior biological sciences major and sociology minor at Clemson.
Hi, friends. My name is Ashley, and I'm a junior at Clemson.
Hey, everyone. My name is Aaron. I'm a junior computer science major here at Clemson.
Howdy, y'all. I'm Jason. I'm a third-year computer science major here at Clemson. And what's this? We have two new professional podcasters on the airwaves with us today. They survived the gauntlet of training and are standing before you while sitting in chairs. But Darren and Nathan, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Darren. I am the one sitting before you. I'm a sophomore comp sci major, and I have actually lived with Nathan since freshman year, and I love scuba diving.
And I'm Nathan. I'm also a computer science major. I'm a sophomore with a minor in cybersecurity. I do a lot of programming in my free time, and I like to be in the outdoors when I'm given the chance. I've been stuck living with Darren since freshman year. He keeps saying that he's going to tell Mr. Clemson to take away my degree if I don't stay around to help him debug his code. But apart from that, it's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
All right, so let's go around and see how we're all doing today on a scale of 1 to 5. Taryn, why don't you start off?
I think I'm at a 5 today, guys. This is great. I woke up early. I went and got tea at a coffee shop, talked to some friends. I feel like I've already had a whole day in just like a couple of hours. So I'm at a 5, guys. We're doing great.
Very nice. I'm at like a 4 because I get to do this. And that's pretty much it.
Wow.
Hey, that's enough. That's enough.
I would say that I'm at about a 4.5. It's been a pretty good week overall, doing well. But there's just, you know, the general stress that comes with classes that just, you know, takes a little half point away. But other than that, we're great.
I'm going to go with Ashley on this one. I'm going to throw in a 4.5. I feel like yesterday went pretty well. Had a lot of success on some things that I wasn't totally sure about.
Yay.
Like just two programming things that went well. And I got here on time, which was good. So I'm feeling all right.
Incredible. Yeah, I'd say I'm probably at a 4. I'm happy to be here. I think this is going to be really enjoyable. I have a couple of midterms that are back-to-back tomorrow morning, which I'm not entirely looking forward to. But apart from that, I'm doing well.
I am at a 5. Everything's been going pretty great. There's a lot of work to do. And usually that'll make me very stressed, but I'm working on not being stressed despite still having things to do. So that's a new feeling. And I feel great. And we got some new podcasts, a new podcast mixer. That was fun to work with. And I'm happy to be here.
We love this average.
Yeah.
I know. Our average is so high.
Best average we've had.
I'd like to point out, though, that somehow with a 4, I'm still tied for last.
I'm sorry, Jason. I should have stuck with you. I shouldn't have gone for the 0.5. I abandoned you.
So for the last several weeks, we've been researching belonging and how it affects college students. And we're going to talk about this topic today. To start off for everyone in the studio, can you remember a time you experienced really strong belonging? Taryn, let's get the show on the road.
Yeah, I think one of the times that I felt that strong sense of belonging was actually during the semester when everything was canceled and we were having Zoom classes. I think that was actually the year that I became a part of like a friend group, I would say. Because we all had nothing to do really in the afternoon, so we started playing video games together. We would come downstairs where there was no one because people weren't here, and we just started playing video games, and that was something that I could look forward to every night. And then I was like, wow, I'm part of a friend group. This is cool. This is what I see on TV as a college experience. This is great. Yeah.
I think the time I felt really strong belonging, I did this research camp before freshman year called Eureka. And it was really great because during the day we'd go do research, work on something that was relatively interesting to us. And then at night we would play board games or video games. We would have trips on the weekend. And over time with all these events, I just got to become really good friends with a lot of the people there. So I think that was a really good experience for me and helped me establish good friends coming into college.
I think for me, I I've felt belonging in a number of places or moments during my life, but I feel like I didn't really start to feel a strong sense of belonging until this year, which is my junior year of college. And I think there's something to be said about that, because coming into college, you come in and out of a lot of different groups, and I think it takes a while to feel like you truly belong. And I noticed that my sense of belonging, particularly this year, increased when I started taking initiative to serve my friends. And I've just felt like really loved by them in return, which has just made me feel at home at Clemson.
Yeah, I think I had something else written down, but I think stronger than what I was going to say is the feeling of coming home to my apartment with like my four friends that I live with and the two other people that are always there, and like someone is making dinner, like for all of us every night. Like we eat together, and that, like, it's not a sacrifice because obviously everyone does it, but the like they care about you enough to cook for you, and that like matters a lot to me, and it makes me feel very at home.
I love that. You've talked about that before, and yeah. I love that.
It's my favorite thing.
It is pretty nice, because as I mentioned, I live with Darren, so I also get to experience that every day, which definitely makes me feel like I belong. Another really big moment for me, which also involves living with them, was last year, because I came into Clemson knowing basically no one. I did actually meet Aaron prior to coming in, but apart from that, like, no one at my school was coming to Clemson. So when I showed up with the roommates that I was like randomly paired with, and you know, we all were just like playing Smash Bros every night and like watching stupid movies, it was a really good time, and it was very nice and very comforting to be able to come into an unfamiliar environment and just have a group of people that I immediately clicked with.
I think for me, I felt like I could have gotten a sense of belonging throughout my years, if I had roomed in the same exact room instead of doing suite style, where I would have my own separate room, because I didn't interact with people on my floor, all those things. But I felt a strong sense of belonging when I was in during my classes. Like after class, we would like do work together with other people and my friends and like small groups of people. It started in the COVID year on Zoom. I remember sitting there and working on algorithms and data structures work, and it was very hard. But the fact that we were all struggling together and helping each other, that gave me a strong sense of belonging. And each year, something, a different class, I, you know, sit down and do work with them. And that makes me feel like I belong.
That's really good. I think what's similar about all of our, like, experiences is that it took time. I think a lot of things take time, and I think the perception a lot of times is that you're going to go into college and then immediately feel this strong sense of belonging. You're going to walk in, your friend group's going to crowd around you, and then you guys are just going to swarm like every place together. You know, we're going to the library together. We're going to eat dinner together. We're going to eat lunch together. And it's like, we all have different schedules. So there's a part of belonging that is about, you know, your environment and having a friend group. But there's also a lot of research that supports the feeling of belonging that you get from like interpersonal, you know, one-on-one relationships too. Mm-hmm. And being able to develop the emotional intelligence to be able to foster those relationships is super important.
I do agree with that. And I think that it's also important to note that like a lot of us did mention like moments where we felt like we belonged in groups, but I know like for me personally, and I know others have experienced this too, but I would say that like my sense of belonging has not come from like a group of friends. Like I don't have a friend group, but I have a lot of individual friends that have made me feel like I belong on campus. And I just think it's important to say that, because I know that a lot of like media and those sorts of things can influence like our perception, like we've talked about, of what belonging really looks like. So
yeah, I think that's a great point, Ashley. I think one of the research articles that we read hit on this a bit, that having a network of friends is generally more helpful than having one really close friend. And I think this is kind of like, we get this perception sometimes from media or from like other people that, oh, I can have one best friend and we'll do everything together, and this person's like perfect for me. But really, that's not how life works. It's unlikely you're going to find one person who is free to do things with you all the time and who likes absolutely everything you like. So I think it's important to look for multiple people who you share different interests with and kind of have multiple outlets to engage in relationships in college.
Yeah, recently I was hanging out with Taryn, actually, and we were also hanging out with her future roommate and past roommate, Lucy.
Yeah.
And I remember there's one thing that me and Taryn don't connect with, and that's my love of anime.
This is so true.
I absolutely love it, and I can't connect with her on that. And if she was my only friend, I would never be able to connect with anybody. And I don't feel like I necessarily belong because I really love this thing. And I'm like, oh, I don't have friends who enjoy it. But then Lucy, she mentioned watching the latest episode of Attack on Titan. And no spoilers. We're not spoiling on this podcast. But we had a great conversation. I felt like I belonged in that moment. And it felt great.
That is great. I'm glad that you have someone to share that with, because at this point, there is no catching up to where you guys are at. And I want you to feel supported, but I can't be the one to do that for you. So,
yep, the power of a network of friends. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Having a network of people who share common interests like that is really important. I remember when I was in high school, as I mentioned, I'm a CS major, and programming is just like a big part of what I like to do in my free time. When I was in high school, I knew no one who liked doing that stuff. There were like a couple people who were like, yeah, I'm kind of interested in this, but like never actually did anything with it. So when I came into Clemson and all of a sudden I'm living with two other computer science majors, it was a pretty big change. So yeah, meeting a lot of different people and trying to find people who actually tie into those interests that you have. It's nice. It's nice to have.
Yeah, and I would say I think it's important to acknowledge that meeting those people can be hard. For me, when I talked about that experience at Eureka, they like had us do all these activities together. So we were together all the time. So eventually, like, you had to make friends because of just being together that much. It's just what happened. So I think when you get here freshman year, when you get into college, it's important to force yourself kind of to go out and do things. Go to club meetings, go to events or activities, sit next to someone you don't know in the dining hall maybe and introduce yourself. And it's going to be awkward and uncomfortable for you, for sure. But I think that level of awkwardness and discomfort is going to be necessary to find the friends and the belonging that you need to make it through the college experience.
Yeah, something to really quick add on to that. It's very important, I think, to obviously try a bunch of different things, but more important than that, sticking with something, even if the first time it feels a little clunky, because that's just how things are at first. You go to a meeting and you sit there and you're like, I don't know any of these people. Some of these people know each other. Mm-hmm. I kind of feel like a fish out of water here. But if you come back to the next one, all of a sudden you're a more familiar face. And the people that you saw at the last meeting, they're also somewhat more familiar to you. You maybe do a few meetings and one event with these people and suddenly you know them. Mm-hmm. Suddenly there are people that you're like, oh, what's up? When you walk by them on campus. And that's just like a nice feeling.
Yeah, and I think one of the articles mentioned something that goes along with this. They talked a lot about attachment styles, but they also mentioned the feeling of loneliness. So in a lot of ways, the lack of belonging and not feeling like you have that social support. And I think that it's really important what they said about the difference between like emotional loneliness and like social loneliness, because I think that they talked a lot about emotional loneliness being like the loss of something, maybe like the loss of like a one person, no longer like being in a relationship, losing your best friend, things like that. That's like more of like that emotional loneliness. And I think that a lot of times people have a hard time identifying that feeling of loneliness. And maybe what they're experiencing is the lack of social support. And that is more of the social loneliness that this article was talking about. Did anyone ever feel that feeling of social loneliness?
So much. There was a period in time, summer of 2020, my senior year of high school had just ended abruptly. And I had also just ended a very long and not so great relationship. And I really wanted to go to college. I was bored and I was very lonely. And I could feel it, but I knew that in all honesty, it is not so much a state that you're in that you can't escape. It's almost like being thirsty or hungry. It's an internal drive. It's your brain just saying, hey, you need to go get this thing for yourself. Like, you need to go hang out with people and, like, get, you need to belong somewhere. So I'm giving you this feeling so that you go do it. But I couldn't do anything about it because I was just at home working out and playing video games.
Yeah.
But as soon as I got here, I really kind of put a lot of things into motion where I was like, this is, you know, difficult and awkward, but I have to do it because I know I need to. And I spent an entire summer sitting there being like, I wish I could do these things. So if I don't, kind of shooting myself in the foot there.
Yeah. I think that is definitely like the personal side of finding belonging is, like Jason was saying, like putting yourself out there and knowing that this is like needing water, like needing food. We need that social interaction. So I think that's super important that you saw that need and then you said like, I'm going to college and I'm not going to continue to feel this level of like isolation.
I'm gonna do something about it now that I can.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I experienced something somewhat similar to that. I think coming back actually just for the spring semester of this year, because when we left for the fall semester, I had felt like I really belonged, like I was involved in a lot of things and just things all kind of just made sense to me and I was in a very comfortable place. But when I came back for the spring semester, I suddenly was in this like weird place where we had, you know, COVID cases had increased again and there was a lot more isolation that was happening. We were kind of like regressing back to that. I had lost what felt like kind of like two important people in my life. So I just had like these empty spaces kind of, and I didn't really know what to do with it. And it took a while, like a few weeks to really work through it. But then I did something very similar and was able to just be like, you know what? We have to do something about this. Like, we can't just sit here in this feeling. And that's when I started serving my friends and reaching out to them, because we can't always expect people to reach out to us and to be the initiators. Like, sometimes it takes you taking that first step and then good things will come from that.
And I think the thing that always holds us back from that is rejection, which is something that mm-hmm. I definitely want us to cover.
Yeah.
And I want to frame it really quick in a similar way to the way I just framed loneliness as a natural response to a certain thing in order to get you to do something that your brain wants you to do. Because when you feel rejection, it is really your body saying, hey, you didn't fit in with those people. You need to fit in with those people. If you don't, you'll die. But the caveat is that's not how it works anymore. You don't have to get along with every single group of people you meet because they don't give you food. Like, they don't protect you from like other people trying to kill you. Like, it might have just been a club that you didn't really care about. So reframing the idea of like, I feel rejection and it feels so crushing is maybe it doesn't need to be so huge. It's built up that way on purpose. But you can do your best to kind of chip it down, reframe it, put it somewhere else, be like, okay, I see this, I can use this, but I don't have to let it control me because it's trying to change who I am and maybe I don't have to. Mm-hmm. That would be one of the ways that I have dealt with the idea of rejection without anybody else.
One of our research articles talked about a lot about this, kind of this emotional intelligence, mm-hmm. Your ability to accurately perceive your emotions, assess them, and then also repair them and regulate them. And that's kind of exactly what you were talking about. Being able to recognize that I am either afraid of rejection or have been rejected. And being able to like clearly, you know, call it out and be like, this is it. And then being able to repair it is basically saying like, this is not telling me all of my future interactions are gonna be this way. Because it's not predictive of all your future interactions at all. And that feeling, the emotion makes it feel like it is, but you have to realize that it's not. You have to go collect more data, essentially. Do it again, and you'll be accepted different times. But
and say it like that, and then you'll make a ton of friends.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, and I think this relates really well to some of the stuff we were talking about last semester, actually, with motivation. Mm-hmm. Because we talked about how when you have this like extrinsic motivation, so like you have deadlines coming up, tests coming up, it actually isn't that great of a motivator. Because what a lot of us tend to do is say, well, if I don't put my full effort into accomplishing this goal and I don't do well on the test, say, well, then it was because I didn't put my full effort in. Basically, we're so afraid of failure or rejection that what we do is we don't put a full effort into accomplishing the task, because then we just get that failure we expected and we say, oh, it was because I didn't put a full effort in, not because I'm not good enough. And I think the same thing happens to us a lot of the times with relationships or friendships, where we're like, well, I'm not going to go try to make friends because it's not going to work out. So then we get what we expected because we're trying to protect ourselves from actually trying and then failing, because we see that as worse or as scarier.
You're lonely, but at least you get to be right, yeah. Which is easier.
Yeah.
And it protects you from the worst of it. Mm-hmm.
But I think owning up to the idea that sometimes you might try something that won't work out, and that does not have to reflect back on you. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's fear of it sending something out and having it bounce right back and hit us in the face. But it doesn't always have to do that, because maybe it just worked out poorly. It's not because you necessarily are the only factor in it that, you know, crumbled.
I'm reading this book, actually, about friendship, which I would recommend. It's called I'll Be There, But I'll Be Wearing Sweatpants. But it made a really good point when I was reading earlier this week that I think really ties in well to, like, this point of rejection and the fact that it's not you that is necessarily being rejected, and you did nothing wrong. But they talked about in this book, like, not everyone in this world is going to like me. Not everyone's going to want to be my friend. Not everyone's going to want to invite me. But the people who truly are your friends and want to be your friends will invite you in a way that makes you feel seen and known and loved. And those are the kind of people that you're going to want to surround yourself with. And I just think that reframing my mindset kind of around rejection, to realize that when I am rejected or I'm not invited to something or I don't feel included by a group, that's just confirmation that those aren't my people. And I just need to go back out there and find the people who will hold on to me and support me and all of those things.
That reminded me of something that happened this year. There is no better feeling than meeting someone that you think is really cool, hanging out with them for a while, maybe through a club or an event, and then a little bit later, them reaching out to you and being like, hey, do you want to do this? Yes. Do you want to go somewhere? Do you want to hang out? Like, that validates so many things inside of you. And it's important to remember that how good it being asked to do something feels, you have that power. You can do that to other people. And even if they are busy, it feels good to even say, well, I'm busy, but, like, yeah, let's do something, you know, maybe later. Mm-hmm. Like, don't forget that you can do that for other people, and then you can share in that feeling with them.
That actually reminds me of one thing that I was thinking of prior to this podcast, is I was just thinking about, like, how in the past I have, like, kind of gotten myself to get out of my comfort zone and reach out to people and get used to the idea of rejection. If you are looking for a semi-easy way to, like, be able to reach out to people and make yourself comfortable talking to new people, compliment them. Yeah. I have found that, like, if you are standing in line and there's, like, a dude standing next to you and he's got, like, a cool shirt, let him know he has a cool shirt. It is such a good feeling, because it can either be a 2-second interaction or it can be a whole conversation, depending on how, like, comfortable you were feeling in that situation. You can almost guarantee that they are gonna, like, enjoy that interaction. And after you do that enough, after you are used to the idea that, oh, when I talk to other people, they enjoy it, it makes you way more confident. You are way more confident and able to just go out and reach out to people and be able to do things.
Yeah, I'm oftentimes on the receiving end of that. I think okay, Aaron.
Okay, Aaron.
He walked around, people are just like, oh my goodness, who is that? Who's famous? Do you host a podcast?
Each of us lined up at the door this morning and came in when I wanted to compliment Aaron.
I bowed when I entered. It was awesome. I didn't even do it on purpose.
I just command that kind of behavior.
It's just kind of an aura. You were saying you were incredible?
I swear I have a point with this. So I often feel like a normal amount where my friends will invite me to do things and want to connect with me, or people will give me compliments. Like on my Pikachu shirt that I oftentimes wear, people always say something like, oh, I like that shirt. And I think it makes me feel good. And I feel like I belong and I feel great and all those things that you mentioned. But I oftentimes don't do that to other people. Or since I'm always like, oh, people invite me to things, I'm so used to just, I'll just say yes or no. And then I realized that I don't give back to them that same feeling of belonging. And I think it also consistently not doing that makes people think that I'm not available or that I don't want to hang out and all these things. So they ask me out less. And it's not the opposite of what I want. So not only does it, you know, let other people just know that you like hanging out with them and they're cool and stuff like that, but also so that they continue to hang out with you. Mm-hmm. I think it's like it's really healthy, I guess.
Friendships and relationships go both ways. Mm-hmm. It's very important to remember that. If you appreciate something that someone else is doing for you and you're getting a lot out of that, mm-hmm. remember that maybe you could, you know, throw that back their way a little bit. Make them feel appreciated. It can always help to do that because maybe that person really needed it. Maybe they didn't, but maybe it just made them feel better and then you'll hang out more and it's just all around good. But that's if you just think about them for a little bit.
Yeah, I think that what you're saying, Aaron, that other person who like is reaching out to you may feel this thing of like the rejection that we were talking about. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, I'm not reaching out again. I can never do that. But I think what I'm hearing from everyone is that rejection is a barrier to belonging. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And one of the best ways to tear down that barrier is through emotional intelligence and through the techniques that you were talking about, Nathan, where you walk up to people and it's uncomfortable. Like Darren was saying, it's uncomfortable mm-hmm. at first. These are new skills that you're developing when you come to college, or just being around a lot of people and being able to talk to them and them being your same age and having similar interests to you. You have to really develop that skill. And it's hard, but it does start with smaller things like complimenting people and then eventually reaching out to people. And you'll get to the point where you realize that you have so many friends around you because you've really poured into them and put effort into trying to develop those relationships.
I like the framing of it as a skill, especially mm-hmm. with how frequently our lives change while we're in college. I mean, every, you know, 5 months, everyone you see on a daily basis is different. And you have to kind of start from scratch. If you want to feel like you know people in your classes, you have to do the whole routine again where you say, hey, what's your name? Cool shirt. Like, but getting more comfortable doing that, even in really quick interactions in the dining hall or something, can help you do that every time you enter a new environment. Very useful as a skill.
And I think something like you guys were talking about relationships being both ways, I think it's important to think about like giving yourself as much room or like as much forgiveness as you give other people. Because I feel like a lot of the times in interactions, I'm like, oh, I was so awkward, or oh, I'm boring, I'm lame in this group. But if you actually, I think, really critically think about it, some of the mannerisms that you think you do that are annoying, a lot of other people are doing it and you don't even notice it.
Yeah.
So you're just so much more focused on yourself and what you perceive as your flaws than other people. And you need to kind of let that go and realize that everyone is doing something that they think is annoying that no one else is actually annoyed by, or no one else actually cares that deeply about that particular thing that you think is making you awkward or makes you not fit into the group.
Yeah, I laugh so loud. And I remember thinking, I said, these people do not want to hear me laughing. And eventually people would be like, oh, your laugh is so great. And I was like, what? This was the thing that I was going to stop doing because I was irritating people in my mind. And I perceived that rejection when it wasn't even there. And that's the thing that we're talking about, like this emotional intelligence to say the things that Jason is saying, like, this is who I am. And I want to be accepted, but also I'm not going to change myself to fit in, and then eventually I'll find my group, like Darren was saying, and like how Ashley brought up, like it takes time. Eventually you'll find those people, but the expectation can't be that you walk in and you maybe conform to the groups that you're in and just change yourself and then you're a part of something. It goes a lot deeper than that.
Because there are a lot of people on campus there are a lot of people on campus, and there are a lot of people that you will never even meet. But if you keep doing it, you will run into people you like. Think about how many times you have had a friend in your life, and then think about how many times, how many people you've ever known. It's a pretty high percentage chance that you're going to run into someone you can at least get along with. So just keep going for it. I mean, think about how many people have really great relationships with people. They've only ever met the people in their immediate area. There are so many people in the world. If it was that rare, no one would have friends. But everybody has made a friend before. And so you can do it here. You can do it even in a room of like 50 people. You can find three that you like.
I think that's what you just said is super important, because like Jason was saying too with Eureka, when you put a group of people together for an amount of time, and even if it's not that long, but they have some type of circumstance they're working through, whether it's a really tough class, whether it's a project that nobody wants to do, a lab report that nobody wants to do, you start forming those relationships immediately. And you're just like, how is this happening? And it's just because you're in a group, like you're in a group trying to work on something or get through something. And college sets you up to have those experiences where you're consistently working through tough circumstances or being put in groups for different projects.
Yeah, and I think one of the research articles we read kind of like formalized some of those concepts. It talked about what's called self-determinism theory. And this is a theory that basically, like, to have belonging and like kind of a good mental health, mental state, you need autonomy. So like the ability to shape your experience. I think there was a lot of that in Eureka and in college in general, where you have some things you need to go to, but a lot of your experiences, you can make what you want of it. You can choose if you want to go play board games or video games or go do sports or which groups you want to hang out with. And then competence, it's got to be well organized, well coordinated. So like with Eureka, when I talked about those trips, I would consider that to be like competence. Things are well organized. You can go do activities and you know that what needs to be there is there. College, I mean, sometimes it is. Some classes aren't. Not calling out any specific professors, but it's not always great, but it's there sometimes. And then relatedness, which is where you kind of need to have this belonging or attachment to others and their values. So a shared value. I think what Darren's kind of talking about is in college, there's so many people that value so many different things that you can find someone who has those shared values. So I think college, they're really all the elements there for you to find belonging. And it's just about going out and actually doing it and putting yourself forth.
And also realizing that it's okay for those groups to change throughout your experience in college. Like, you are going to be put in so many different circumstances. You have new classes every semester, and that's a new opportunity every semester to meet new people, to be involved in different things. And I think it's okay to just like accept that and just kind of enjoy the fact that you can have new people entering and leaving your life all the time. And it's not a bad thing. If you find yourself hanging out with a different group of people one semester from another, because college just invites a lot of change into our lives.
I only just now thought of a parallel, and I looked up a graph, so I made sure I got the numbers right. is anyone familiar with the birthday paradox here?
Yes. We talked about this one.
You talked about this yesterday. Yeah. In a room of 23 people, there's a 50% chance that there is a shared birthday in that group of people. Yeah. Just because of how many different connections there are in that group. 23, 50%. And then it gets to like 90% at like 45.
This is crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy.
I'm going to need to know y'all's birthdays right now.
March 24th, send me gifts.
Think about how uncommon that sounds, but it's true. So you put 20 people together, two of them probably have the same birthday, and there's probably a few more that have something else in common too. Like, I don't think that there are 356 different unique, like, hobbies that everyone does. I feel like there's probably less. So maybe 10 people together, you probably share a hobby with someone there. And everyone also has multiple hobbies. You don't have multiple birthdays. My point is, the odds of you having things in common with other people are way higher than you might think.
I don't know. I don't know if anyone shares my love of underwater basket weaving.
Oh, yes, true. I That's love true. Underwater you basket do? Weaving. Wow. My brother said he was going to go to college and major in it, but he didn't. He wimped out.
I don't know what you guys are talking about, but that's all right.
Underwater basket weaving in the Sahara.
Okay. I'm sure some of the listeners like that.
Yeah.
No judgment on your preferences and hobbies.
You know, I bet you if you go to room 100 people that you can meet another fan of this podcast.
Because everybody loves
actually,
this podcast.
That's true. Everybody listens to this podcast, chances 100%.
Yeah, you only need to be in a room of two people.
Yeah, fun fact, in a room of two people, everyone listens to In the Spotlight.
Well, I think this was such an important conversation to have, and I think that it really highlights our role in developing a social network and finding connection and belonging in college. So I just really appreciate everyone sharing their experiences and also sharing the research on belonging.
Yeah, do we have any final thoughts from anyone before we close for the day?
I think Aaron looks really good today.
I do also think Aaron looks really good.
Yeah,
thank
I'm
you
like,
guys.
I'm liking the sweatshirt, Aaron. You got a nice haircut today.
Oh.
Your mask is really nice.
I like the parts of you that it hides. I was kidding. I like Aaron.
Look like very healthy college students who are all happy and I'm glad to call my friends. Aww.
Oh, this is so nice.
Me returning the compliment.
Well, then, before this devolves into a compliment extravaganza, thank you all for listening to our conversation today. We hope you enjoyed it and hope you got something useful out of it. Share our podcast with your friends and family. Be on the lookout for our next episode and our potential appearance as a curling team in the 2026 Winter Olympics. I can't guarantee it, so
not
I think
potential.
We're going
it's
all the way.
Gonna happen. I'm pushing for it.
I'm getting ready. I'm gonna find a curling rink. I don't know where one is, but maybe Wisconsin or Michigan. I'm sure they're up there.